One.
Glory to God.
Lord, how I need you. Amen. How many can testify to that fact this morning? Amen. We can't even walk without the Lord holding our hand. Amen. But God is able. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. What? Okay. Give me the key of F. Have a request to sing this morning, and I'm going to try to fill that request. Amen. Joy in my heart. Amen. Praise God. Key of F. One day I was walking in a world of fear, no rest for my weary soul. Then I met a man who said he'd be my friend. All my burdens God did roll. He took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my hands, joy in my feet, it's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took all the worldly desire, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. I got my eyes on Jesus, got my mind made up. I'm gonna tell it everywhere that I go. Well, there ain't nobody gonna turn me around. You see, Jesus is in control. He took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got my eyes on Jesus, got my mind made up. I'm gonna tell it everywhere that I go. Well, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. Jesus is in control. He took all the worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, you got joy this morning? Give the Lord praise. Well, glory. Everlasting joy. Not just joy that the world gives. Amen, but the joy that a relationship with Jesus Christ gives. Amen. Some folks don't understand the statement that you can have joy even in turbulent times. Amen. But if you know Jesus, I said if you really know Jesus, not only just know Him, but know Him intimately. You have accepted Him as your personal Savior, amen, and your Lord. We want Him to be our Savior, but we also need Him as Lord. Amen. We need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Then you can have joy in even times when it's not a joyous situation. How many knows that? If you believe that, give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. My, my, my. I'm like David. I'm glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate God's blessing, His mercy, and His grace. It's good to see each and every one of you. Let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. How many brought the Word with you? Go with us in the Word to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. Amen. Acts denotes action. Praise God. I'm glad that the Bible is a book of action. Amen. And words that are associated with living for God. In the book of Acts, chapter number 26, I want to begin reading, if I might, in verse number 19. And thank you for standing. I'll try not to keep you standing very long, but I do want to read down through verse number 29. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse number 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not thou only, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your Spirit. God, for your holy and precious word. Father, I pray this morning that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel. God, so that you may speak to us this morning, that you would have us to hear. Father, that we would be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, help us to glean from this morning, God, that you would want us to glean. Father, I pray that it would sink deep into our spirit, God. Lord, I pray that you would bless this congregation. God, if there's any here today that have not made that commitment, let this be the day. Father, I thank you for the urging of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning, God, that you would just sanctify this entire congregation in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. One more time for Jesus. Let him know how much you love him. You may be seated. Praise God. This morning I want to preach a message entitled Almost or Altogether. Almost or Altogether. Even though they both start with an A, they're entirely different in concept and in meaning. Almost means nearly, but not quite. Come on, how many can associate and identify with the word almost? Amen.
Many, many times in my life, I have almost completed missions, completed projects, but didn't entirely complete it. So I couldn't claim it as a totally done job. Not quite. Close, but not quite. On the other hand, altogether means totally and completely. Amen. How many knows that we need to be all together in and serving God? The day of being almost a Christian, it's not going to get it. Come on, you either are or you're not. There's no such thing as being almost saved. Almost saved means you're totally lost. Come on, that's the Word of God. We can't be lukewarm. We can't be undecided. We can't be uncommitted. We can't be just kind of a lukewarm state of serving God when it's convenient or when we need Him or just when it's a social thing to do. Amen. We need to be committed. Today, in this hour, God needs our commitment more than any time that in my history that I can remember. We need to be dedicated. We need to be sold out to God. We need to carry the banner high. We need to proudly proclaim that I am a born-again Christian. I'm proud of it. I do not apologize for it. I'm glad to be associated with the family of God. I'm glad to be a Christian, amen, because I know what a price was paid in order for me to be able to be born again and to stand before you today and proudly proclaim that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul seems to be in a dire predicament here for doing good. I guess one of the most controversial or maybe the thing that brings more counseling in a pastor's life is trying to persuade Christians that bad things sometimes happen to good folks. It's not necessarily the wrath of God. And it's not all instances where we've disobeyed God. They're called circumstances. They're called things that happen in the world. The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. They're going to be things that we have to go through. The Apostle Paul, after his conversion, and you Bible readers know, amen, that even though his name changed, something else changed. Glory to God. I can't testify for you. I can't tell your story like you can, but I can tell you when I came down to an altar of repentance and I opened up my heart's door to Jesus Christ and He came in, I went away. I left that church a different person than when I came in. Praise God. I wasn't the same old person that I was. Thank God for His mercy and for His grace. Thank God for His life transforming power that came in and regenerated me and washed me and refreshed me in His Spirit. Thank God that I was and still am a very different person, and I owe that all to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was, after his conversion, he took it upon himself to spread the word and even testifies here of it. It didn't matter if the crowd was small or large or whoever it was. He saw that in his obligation as a child of God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to whomever and whoever he came in contact with. Oh, I wish we had more of that spirit in this world today. Can you say amen? We need to share what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary and the hope that we have because of His resurrection. Amen. And the hope that we have that we too will see Him again. But the Apostle Paul is standing here today, and the prosecutor is actually bringing him before King Agrippa because he has been a disruptive fellow, causing spiritual unrest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that this world needs spiritual unrest? Amen. We need a shock treatment of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need something that gets the attention of the lost and dying that's in this world today that seemingly has no care and no concern about where they're going to spend eternity. It seems to be all they're cared for or all they're interested in is what I can do for myself right now and what I can gain in this world. But let me tell you, all of this is going to pass away. Amen. But I'm looking for a better place. I'm looking for a better home. I'm looking for a better way of life. Through what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Can somebody say amen that can identify with that? The Apostle Paul is standing here. I like this because King Agrippa II, this is King Agrippa, the king of Judea. There was a lot of Herods, but this was King Agrippa II, the son of King Agrippa I. And history tells us that he took the kingship or the reign when he was 17 years old. Now, parents, can I ask you today, do you have any children the age of 17 that you would entrust the nation to? Bless God, we love our young folks. But I'm not sure a 17-year-old would be quite ready, man, to make the decisions necessary to govern nation. So King Agrippa II was kind of put in hold in Rome until somebody else, a prosecutor or a whatever they call them, anyway, intermediator, thank you, was placed, amen, to sort of run things till he got old enough. But something I identified in King Agrippa II. I believe so many times we write folks off just because of who they are and where they come from and what their background is. But can I tell you, we can't see into the heart and into the soul of people. And when we automatically write off somebody that we're not going to witness to as a lost cause, that may be the very one that needs to hear the testimony of where Christ came into your life. But for whatever reason, we seem to deem it an impossibility to maybe share the gospel with that person because of their stature in life or because of their position or whatever. Can I tell you, folks in authority need to be witnessed to as well. Amen? So here he is, and they bring Apostle Paul because he is stirring up the people. He's preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and preaching the truth. Amen? How many sometimes knows that you're put down in ridicule for ministering the truth? Amen? Because it's not very well accepted in the world today. Oh, I wish that it was. But come on, let's get real. A lot of folks don't want to hear it. They absolutely deny it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So he was being brought before King Agrippa. And the king gives the Apostle Paul the opportunity to speak for himself. Amen. Now, one thing that God blessed the Apostle Paul with was the ability to speak. Amen. He began to write so many of the epistles, so eloquently written, and God knew what he was doing when he called the Apostle Paul, when he called Saul into the ministry. So here the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa and Festus, the prosecutor, and some of the other people that were in royalty there, and he begins to speak, and the Bible even says that he begins to motion with his hands. You know, some people say to me, well, if they was to tie your hands up, you wouldn't be able to speak a word. Amen. Sometimes I have to kind of use my hands to maybe get a point across. Evidently, the Apostle Paul was very similar in his speak. So he began to speak, and he began to tell his side of the story. And you know what? He was saying, I am guilty of what you're telling me I am guilty of. But I'm not going to change. Come on. Don't give me a spineless, backboneless Christian stand up and apologize for the Word of God. Amen. This, I didn't write it. Come on. I didn't concoct it. I'm just giving to you what God has already put, amen, in words for us to obey. Amen. We got two too many preachers. We got too many ministries. We got too many children of God standing up and apologizing for the blood of Jesus Christ, trying to water it down, trying to make it easy for folks to get. Let me tell you something. The Bible, Jesus Christ has made it as simple and easy as He possibly can. He did it all. He gave His life. He let His blood shed on the cross of Calvary so that I could be born again, so that I could be filled with His Spirit, so that I could stand here and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And the Apostle Paul began to tell of his conversion and how that he was on the road to Damascus. And, you know, he said, "Yeah, I was guilty. I was guilty for bringing many Christians, amen, and persecuting them. And even death, some of them was caused to have death, you know, for what I proclaimed. I admit all of that." But he said, something happened. Glory to God. Amen. Something happened. Oh, what a testimony. You know, I thought about the Apostle Paul. And I thought about every born-again saint of God. You know, so many times when we witness to folks, we think we got to start at the very beginning and kind of force-feed them the whole Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you first learned to eat table food, did your mom and daddy force that down your throat? Sometimes they pureed it a little bit, didn't they? They made it palatable. Oh, they made you, and then you, as you grew a little bit, you were more able to digest the meats and the potatoes and the Word of God. And so many times, sure, we think we got to force feed all of that down them. But let me tell you something. If you'll just continue to feed them, come on, a little stronger and a little stronger and a little stronger, and nourish them, amen, with the Word of God, you'll see a Christian begin to grow. Let me tell you something, folks. We need the Word of God in the society that you and I are living in now. When we go to church, we need the Word of God. Praise and worship is wonderful, and I love it, and you're going to have an eternity to praise and worship. But right now, we need the Word of God. We need His direction. We need the Word of God to tell us how that we come out from the world, and how we are a separated people, how we are special and chosen of God. Amen. To be a light to this lost and dying world. Oh, I need somebody to stand up and say, I'll testify for Jesus. I'll proclaim the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul began to witness and testify. And he did it in such a compelling manner that the only time that he was interrupted was when Festus spoke up and said, "Paul, you're mad. You're beside yourself. Much learning hath made thee mad." You know what? I probably know some Christians today that would get real mad and fire it right back at Festus. But the Apostle Paul said, "No, most noble Festus, I'm not mad." Come on. Listen, the Word of God will not only make you bold, but it'll give you an overwhelming sense of love for the person that you're witnessing to. And you cannot have love, amen, unless it's genuine. Glory to God. They'll see right through it. You can tell somebody all day long, "I love you," but until you really feel it from your heart, they're going to see that counterfeit. It's going to show up like a neon sign. But let me tell you, as we witness to the world, as we witness to the unsaved, well, don't forget the boldness of the Word, but do not forget the love of God that Christ has placed in our life to love them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is an opportunity for us to witness. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 22, after he gave his account and his testimony of his conversion. Can I just ask you this morning, do you remember? Do you remember your conversion? Do you remember the day, the night? that Christ became Lord and Savior of your life? Do you remember the change in your life? Do you remember how things begin to look a whole lot better when you begin to forget about your past? Amen. Do you know that the past was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? How many is thankful, glory to God, that we're not accountable for the things that we did before? Christ has washed those away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is, and what a great transformation has taken place in our life. The Apostle Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God. Can I remind us? We can't do anything without the help of God. We cannot witness. We cannot preach. We cannot really sing adequately unless we have the help of God in our life. Because we don't know what to do. We have to depend on the Spirit of God that is within us. But since that Spirit of God is within us, we don't need to keep it bottled up either. We need to share it. We need to spread it. We need to cast seeds wherever we go. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I continue unto this day. Thank God for those that were born again, that they are still to this day continuing in the service of God, continuing in the ministry of God, continue living and worshiping and studying in the Word of God. Amen. So that we can share that with others. The Apostle Paul said, with the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Stay true to the Word. Amen. Come on, you don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away from it. It's strong enough. Amen. Don't dilute it. Don't water it down. Don't make excuses for it. Preach the Word. Proclaim the Word. Live the Word. Share the Word. The Word is what will set you free. Thank God for the Word today. The Word of God, amen, can still loose people, loose the bonds and the chains that have them bound today. Whatever the addiction, whatever the problem, I know the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. He can still unlock the doors. He can still break the chains. He can still lift you out of the bottomless pit. He can place your feet on a solid foundation. Thank God that He's still delivering folks today. Hallelujah. With the help of God, I continue. Paul speaks in his defense. Listen, he does not deny the fact that he's a different person. But he also presents it in such a way that it gets King Agrippa's attention. Now, for whatever jurisdiction, whatever authority, and evidently King Agrippa had the authority to have him killed. But something persuaded him not to seek the death penalty. He said, I don't find anything worthy of death. This man. He says, to be quite honest with you, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm so afraid. God pricked my heart. When I read again, I was reciting the conversion of Paul this week. It's such an astounding event. It leaves no doubt in your mind who changed Paul. Come on, amen. If you're ever doubting your conversion sometime, go right back and read about Paul's conversion. He had no inclination. He had no desire to be saved. He thought he's doing the right thing. He thought he was helping God out by ridding Christianity. And he was committed, but he was committed to the wrong thing. Oh boy, that'll preach too, won't it? Got a lot of committed folks, but they're not committed to the right thing. Amen. But his conversion was nothing short of a miracle. Let me tell you something. He knew something happened to him. He was a changed person after that conversion. And he immediately went in the opposite direction and began to proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen. The death, burial, and the resurrection and that you needed to obey the word of God. He said, I'm speaking the same thing that Moses did, and they were speaking it in prophetic terms. I'm preaching and telling you that it has come to pass. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is God's Son. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He is the great I Am. He is the lifter up of my head. He's the very thing that the world needs today, and they can't realize it. So Agrippa is listening very intently. And then the Apostle Paul uses the scriptures. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Now, how are you going to answer that? And then he says, I know you do. I know you're a believer. I think some folks sometimes get a little too abrasive in their witnessing. I believe they get a little abusive in their witnessing. Come on, I'm just kind of speaking from experience here. I remember that people spoke to me in a way that pricked my heart, that convicted my lifestyle, but I wanted to hug their neck. Wait a minute, brother. They're telling you you're lost and you want to hug their neck? The words were harsh and truthful, but the spirit was loving and gentle. Amen. And that's not an impossibility. Amen. If Christ is alive and well in your life, you can speak truth. You don't have to compromise, but you do it in love. You have a genuine spirit of compassion for folks. And thank God you can love folks to Christ. Amen. But do not back up for the truth. Amen. The truth cannot be told but one way. That's the truth. And the Apostle Paul shared the truth. Too many people tend to follow the almost path. I'm afraid today that society has changed some of its expectations or its goals, and it seems to me, and without trying to get too political or opinionated, just things that I've observed. Proverbs is a book of observations. I have observed that there's a tendency today to accept mediocrity as being okay. Now, I was told by my parents, just do the very best you can. You may not be an A-plus student, but if you're an A-minus student and you're getting a B, you're not doing the best that you can. Sometimes we're not capable of doing more. We're not capable of exceeding certain goals. But if it's the best that we can do, come on, then you've reached that pinnacle. But if you know that you can do better, and you know that you can witness to more folks, and you know that you can read and study your Bible more, then you've accepted the same thing that the world has today of mediocrity. Not as bad as some, maybe not as good as others, but I'm okay. That doesn't hold, amen, in living for Christ. It's either almost or altogether. Many people have joined churches to almost make a change in their life. But can I tell you that joining the church is not salvation? If it was, I'd lay the microphone down. I'd go get the board or the ledger, and I'd just start signing everybody up. But it takes more than that. It takes a born-again experience. I think we say that so many times that we fail to realize what a wonderful thing a born-again experience is with Jesus Christ. It is a transformation. Glory to God. It is a reviving. It is the old things passed away and all things have become new. The old creature is melted down, and in his place, God has made a brand new creature. Thank God for a born-again experience. But people get to a certain point where they're almost convinced, almost committed, but not altogether. The more that I read, the more that I study, the more that I pray, lets me to know that I'm not even where I need to be. Come on. Come on. Thank God I'm not where I was yesterday, last week, or last year. But I'm still not where I need to be. I want to be all together. I want to be all in. I don't want a bit of doubt in my mind. I don't want a bit of reluctance. Amen? I'm sold out to Christ. I have to be. Because anything less is just almost. It's just nearly, but not quite. I want to be totally and completely. Many people have started and made advances to a better life. But they get to a point where they get satisfied and think it's enough. Can I tell you that you can be a great father, a great husband, a great provider, a wonderful church member, good in society, doing the right thing. But if you have never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, you're walking the almost path. You're not altogether in. When you're altogether in, everything else pales in comparison to relationship with Jesus Christ. It is first and foremost in every decision you make, in every day of your life. You still go on with these other things. And God Himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these other things will be added. But when you're altogether in, these things just kind of work out. As long as you put God first in your life. The Bible tells us that too many people tend to follow the almost path. From the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they gave birth to two sons, Cain and Abel. Well, we really put Cain down a lot, and we kind of conceive in our mind that he was this evil, pernicious, conspiring person, and we don't even give him a chance, really. But if you read, he made a sacrifice too. But he wasn't altogether in. Can I tell you, sometimes it's not so much what you give as to how you give it. Whether that be of your time, your finances, your worship. Can I pause here to say, do we just go through the motions of worship? When someone says, let's raise our hands and worship the Lord, do you do it just because everybody else does it? Are you all together in? And you don't care who says anything about it. Sometimes you just throw your hands up and nobody else says a thing. When the preacher says, don't even, he's not even said, raise your hand, but you just feel something. You're just all together in. You're just saying, thank you for another day. Thank you that you love me. God, I offer my praise. I give it willingly. God, I'm not giving it because somebody else told me to. I give it willingly unto you. I praise you. The first thing that you wake up in the morning before you do anything else, do you say, thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for another day that you've given me. That person is all together in. They're not almost. They're all together in for serving and worshiping and praising the Lord. Come on. If the only time you read your Bible is when you're in church, if the only time you praise God is just when you're with others, you may be one of those folks that's traveling that almost path. But if you can't get enough of Jesus, if you can't get enough of praying and meditating and fasting and reading or studying the Word of God, then in fact you may be altogether in. totally and completely. Cain went through the process, made a sacrifice. Something in Cain would not allow him to be completely and altogether in. Began to have jealousy of his brother. Upset with God because God received Abel's sacrifice more than his. Come on. If you're letting bitterness and strife and discontentment and jealousy and envy and all of these other kind of demonic things that come into our life, if you're letting them keep you from worshiping and serving God, you may be walking the almost path. But if you're so close to God, it doesn't matter who says anything at all about you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I used to be so... I just walked on eggshells all the time, especially as a minister. I am so afraid that somebody's not going to like me. You can call it old age. You can call it senility, grumpiness, whatever you want to. But I call it... I put some blinders on. Lord, I just got to please you. You are my judge. You are my Savior. They can like me if they want to, but as long as I'm all right with you, Lord, that's all that matters. Amen. And Cain could have had that relationship, don't you understand? But he chose to walk the almost path instead of the altogether. King Saul was anointed of God. And he almost served God completely. But then he began to entertain the wrong spirit. Come on. He began to look for other things to console him rather than the Spirit of God. There's some things I don't understand. Well, I'll rephrase that. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But some things I don't understand is why people give an explanation of why they do these things. I just do it to forget. Really? After you do this, and then you come sober again, or you get down off of your high, is all of that stuff just gone? Well, no, it comes back. Then why did you do it? Because it just helped me for have peace of mind for a little while. Well, can I tell you something? I know something that won't give you a hangover in the morning. You talking about a buzz? Oh, what a buzz! Glory to God! It'll make an old man feel young again. Hallelujah! I'm talking about completely, altogether in serving Christ with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, getting in the deep part with the Lord. Amen. Sold out completely to Jesus, and allowing Him to be Lord, Savior of your life. Almost. Lot, you got to get out of this environment that you're in. I know you're righteous. I know you're trying to live a righteous life, trying to bring your family. But son, you're in the wrong place. You chose what was appealing to the eye. And not what pleased God. Now you're reaping the consequences. You might can say, I can live for God anywhere, anytime, anyplace. Well, maybe you can, but you know what? I like to be around godly people. Because it helps me. It helps me. I like to come to church. Not just because I'm the preacher either. I love coming to church. Because I feed off of you. I hear a testimony how God just healed somebody. And that, even though it happened to them, that tickles me. And I like to see the smiling faces and the praise and worship on folks. I love it. But can I tell you, if you're in an environment that's constantly dragging you down and pulling you away and trying to get your mind off of God and got you into such a state of problems and issues and stress and strife and all of these things, yeah, you may can live for God, but it's really, really hard when nobody around you is a believer. God said, Abraham, tell Lot, get his things and get out of there. Get his family. And you know the story. The angels came. There was so much perverseness in Sodom and Gomorrah that it took an absolute cleansing from God. Absolutely. And Lot, his daughters, and his wife turned their back on that and headed out. God said, don't you look back. Come on, I need you to be all together. I need you to be committed totally to the goal that is set before you. I thank God for what He brought me through the past. But can I have to tell you that I do not have any reason, desire at all to go back to what He brought me from. No. Don't want it. But don't you look back. Lot's wife almost made it out. Almost got the victory. But some overwhelming desire within her caused her to disobey God's word and turn back and look. Now, a lot of folks talk about that and just, she kind of just peeped to see what was going on. I kind of think that she had a little bit of desire not to leave the old life. Her home was there, understand? People she grew up with was there. I believe there was just a little bit of a longing to have things the way it used to be. And she turned back. The Bible says she was turned to a pillar of salt. Almost, but not quite. God forbid that on Judgment Day, we almost make it. We almost changed our lives. We almost changed our direction. We almost made the decision to follow Christ. But we didn't altogether. The rich young ruler almost decided to follow Jesus. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus saw his heart. You know, so many people get the wrong idea. God's not against riches. Many of the great Bible characters had wealth, but it wasn't primary in their life. It was secondary. God was first. But he looked at the rich young ruler and he said, okay, go and sell what you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says the rich young ruler went away sorrowfully. He almost made that decision. I believe his intentions were good. I believe his heart was good. I believe he really meant he wanted to follow Christ. But Christ saw something that would cause him not to be totally and absolutely altogether in. He saw something in his life that would be a hindrance. It just happened to be his great wealth. Maybe it's not wealth in our life. Maybe it's some other thing that we just can't seem to get over. We can't seem to get victory over. Are we almost there? Are we altogether in? Judas, a disciple of Christ. How could a devout follower of Christ betray him? Evidently, there was something that was greater than his love for Jesus. Well, we can put Judas down. But is there something in our life that we love more than Jesus? Is there something in our life that we're more committed to than following Christ? Are we almost there? Are we all together? And then finally, King Agrippa. It was a stirring testimony, Paul. And I can't find any fault in it. In fact, I believe what you're telling me is the truth. Boy, it sounds good. I'd really love to be as dedicated and committed as you are, Paul. But you see, I got a kingdom to rule. I got obligations. And I got responsibilities. But it sounds good. And I'm really going to think about it. And I'd love to be committed. Almost you persuaded me. But not altogether. Not altogether. Witnessing can only go so far. If we could force people to be born again, they wouldn't be used to witness. We just force them. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But don't quit witnessing. Don't quit living for God. Paul said, you know what? I would to God that not only you, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Then he said, except for these bonds. Quickly read over that last part, except for those bonds. And I thought about, why don't you write that? Why don't you put that in there? And then the Lord just kind of spoke to me. So what kind of testimony would you give if you were bound before the magistrates? What kind of testimony? I ask you this morning, boy, when you just got a blessing, when you just got delivered, amen, some of the best testimonies you'll ever give is just after you've been saved. Whew, you set the world on fire then. Boy, you can just really, really proclaim the goodness of Christ. But how about when you've had an awful week? How about when nothing is going right? You're so sick you can't even hold your head up. Check runs out before the month does. You'd give anything to have a jingle in the pocket. Nothing's going right. Boy, could you really witness then? Paul did. Because he was altogether in. He was there in bonds and gave a testimony like you would not believe. Glory to God. Ooh, you want to see a Christian that's altogether in? Let them proclaim a testimony when nothing's going right in their life. Because that doesn't matter. Come on, God's going to fix that. I'm walking by faith. God's going to fix that. I may be bound today, but God's going to loose me and set me free. Glory to God. I may be in knee deep in problems up to my knees and all. I may not be able to take a step, but you know what? I'm going to testify for God. I'm going to witness to God. God is great. God's going to make a way. Amen. He's going to heal my body. He's going to open a door of opportunity. He's going to turn things around in my life. Amen. I'm all together in. I can't be any other way. I can't halfway serve God. I can't be that almost path. I'm either in or out. And thank God by His grace, I choose to be in. Glory to God. Gonna end with this. Brother Everhart, wonderful pastor, go home to be with the Lord. Had beautiful girls and granddaughters, and They had a song that rose on the charts back in, the late 80s, early 90s. It says, "I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's making me do it. I choose this life. And it's the best choice you'll ever have." Glory to God. It's time to quit contemplating. It's time to get all of those intend-tos behind you and take that next step and be totally and absolutely committed to Christ. You'll be glad you did. Not to scare you, but none of us have the promise of tomorrow. Amen. Some of the youngest people are passing away today, thinking their future is going to be bright and going to live a long time. But you know what? Today is the day of salvation. Be ready for whenever that time comes. Be totally committed, altogether in for Christ. Would you stand? Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I pray that I have delivered what God has laid upon my heart. I pray that you receive that as coming from God, not necessarily from man. I'm just the presenter of God's Word. But if something in this message, if something in God's Word has pricked your heart, has pricked your conscience, and you're tired of just almost being committed, then why don't you come down and totally commit your life to God this morning? Rededicate, reconsecrate. It's all right. So many times we think altars are just for the unsaved. That's not necessarily so. The altar is a meeting place. It's a place that we come down and we ask the Lord to strengthen us, to help us. Now, if you're here today and you've never made a commitment, I ask you this question. Why are you putting it off? Why are you prolonging it? You'll never have any greater joy than giving your life to Jesus. Is this your day? With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just lift your hand if you have a need while nobody's looking? And this pastor will pray. I'll be praying this week for those hands. God bless them. God knows your need. You don't have to tell me. God already knows. And I'm going to pray that God will meet your need this week. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning.